Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank you for tuning in to Vision Works. Vision Works airs the third Sunday on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And for those of you who are new to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, we broadcast every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and the second and fourth Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I am the host for Vision Works. Vision Works is an opportunity for people to share how they are living and implementing their vision in the community and around the world. I would like to take a moment for those of you unfamiliar with the International Black Summit to tell you a little bit about who we are. The International Black Summit is a gathering of people of Black African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views. And we come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration and explore questions and issues which empower our participants to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. The Declaration of the International Black Summit, I'd like to share it with you, goes a little like this. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And this declaration statement was first created at the formal summit event in Atlanta, Georgia in 1991. I created the Vision Works to allow for the public expression of many of the contributions at work that reflect the manifestation of this declaration. And tonight on Vision Works, we have two very special guests, Ms. Colleen Hines and Ms. Sandrine DePeden. Am I saying your last name correctly? Sandrine?
It's Dubatin.
Dubatin, sorry.
It's fine.
I'd like to welcome and thank you both for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Definitely.
And I'd also like to welcome and thank everyone who's listening live tonight. And if you'd like to call in with any comments or questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. You can also listen via the web at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And tonight's show is kind of a testament to several things that are very special about the month of February. One is love, and the other is three. And our guests tonight are definitely making history in unique ways. They're both creating educational opportunities in their homelands and expressing their love for children through education. Mm-hmm. I want to start off with you, Colleen. I know that you are the founder of JLA, which is the and Leadership Academy, and you're also an administrator at the KIPP Charter School, the Knowledge is Power program.
Yes, that's correct. In Camden.
Okay. And what is it that you do at the school?
Well, currently I am, the math specialist as well as director of special projects. So I work on the leadership team, supporting teachers, really pushing innovative ways that we can continue to close that academic achievement gap with our students, and making sure the math, especially, one of our really core subjects is being taught in a way that provides opportunities and really empowers our students with the knowledge to apply and go on and do much bigger things.
Okay. Now, do students have to do something special to get in the KIPP program, or is that just the name of the school?
Right. The Knowledge is Power program, it's really a network of 66 schools around the country now. And against most what some people think about charter schools, it's actually a public school. And so really we have open enrollment. You know, we serve the same students in Camden that the other public schools serve. And I think this is what makes KIPP unique in general is really setting that high expectations. You know, students are expected to go to college, not just graduate from high school. And so that's how we talk to our students. That's how we teach them. You know, they all know what year they're going to college. That's their class of 2012, 2013. And so really that's the unique part about KIPP. We're really pushing the high achievement, high expectations, and we really have a goal that we're working towards.
Okay, and how are you doing with meeting that goal? How many of the students would you say actually go on?
Right. I can't speak for the larger network. I know we're definitely doing better than most of the urban school districts. For Freedom Academy Charter School in Camden, we just graduated our first class last year of eighth graders. And so we did our best job supporting them to get into top high schools, you know, so that they can continue that journey on to college. And so we're still in touch and building those relationships and, you know, have a few more years yet to see what college brings for them, but the expectation is great.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And Sandrine, which school district are you with? Which school system?
Philadelphia School District.
Okay, okay. And what are you teaching?
Excuse me? Say again.
Are you teaching at the Philadelphia School System?
No. Actually, my story is a bit more radical, actually. I like Colleen, who, by the way, are alums from Teach for America. We were core members at the same time. I was the literacy lead teacher at Rhodes High School in North Philly. And was part of the administration there for 2 years, and we had a successful run. School made AYP, which is very important in these days of testing, centeredness. And I decided to leave, actually, in part because I felt that I could make a larger impact on students beyond the testing, and because of what I thought I saw was missing in the classroom structure and curriculum and the whole way we think about education, since I had the opportunity to look at it from an administrative point of view. So I'm not teaching. Actually, I founded my company, ChangeX, and have took the entrepreneurial route, and I have since been doing different workshops and having an adventure every day, pretty much, since I made the choice. So,
wonderful. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting. So I didn't realize that you both went to the Teachers Leadership Academy.
Yeah, Teach for America.
Yeah.
We were part of the Charter Corps in 2003, and yep, we both taught in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Both kind of take a different path. So, Colleen, you were born here in the States, in New Jersey.
Yes.
But your parents are from Jamaica.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. So, how did you get started in education? How did, you know, this track kind of start for you?
Right. Yeah, I would agree with Sandrine, quite radical or abruptly, I guess you would say. My background, I'm a trained chemical engineer, and so I was working in corporate America for a few years, about 4 years, And, you know, it was just at that point where you're looking for something that's more rewarding and really speaking to a purpose, you know. And one of my girlfriends heard about Teach for America, and, you know, on this snowy day in January, I you know, did some research and looked up, and it's like, wow, this is awesome. It was just, you know, like the skies opened up. This is what I was meant to do. And, you know, of course, as I did more family research, I come from a legacy of teachers, really. I'm a third-generation educator. So I guess it was more natural than I thought. And so within a month or two of even finding out about Teach for America, I left corporate America. I applied. I really had no plan B. And that's kind of how I got my start in education, teaching math, and, you know, just really having a wonderful time connecting with the students.
Got it. So the education was in your blood from the generational, from your family.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, how did Jayla and the foundation start? I mean, what was the whole connection?
Right. Let's see. So after my 2-year commitment with Teach for America, I then went to join the Kipp family in Camden, the same school. Actually, one of my girlfriends from high school and my best friends from high school founded this particular Kipp school. And so I joined her in year two, still very much in a startup phase. So after that first year, I decided, opposed to going the general school leadership route in the States, I decided to leave. I took a year off and went abroad. And I did a master's program that allowed me to spend time in Jamaica, which was, you know, awesome. And also the second part was in London. And so there I was taking classes. Also, we had a service placement, and I was able to work with a school in Jamaica. Actually, it's an alternate school. A training center is really what it was for young students, 15 students that have been displaced from traditional high schools for a myriad of reasons. Mm-hmm. And instead of learning algebra, instead of, you know, business courses and entrepreneurial thinking, they were learning shoemaking and arts and crafts, you know, which is great. But in that space, I kind of wrestled with the inequities I saw in the States and the inequities I'm seeing, you know, I saw in Jamaica, and also even between my two parents, there was a gap in opportunity and access to education. And so I just took that opportunity, and I decided to do my dissertation, my thesis on that subject, so looking at the feasibility of creating a community boarding school for students that had been disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there I was able to do immense research and had great advisors and, you know, was really able to spend a lot of time figuring out what was at the root of the problem that I was seeing, the symptoms that were coming up.
Mm-hmm. And so the foundation that began, was it through the school system that you were working with in Jamaica, or something different? Are they connected?
Right.
Or,
mm-hmm. Nope, not connected at all. In Jamaica, they have two specific types of schools. So either you're a government school or you're an independent school, the private schools. And so really,
is it school similar to a charter school, or is it different?
Right, that's what they do not have. So charter schools here are really a merge between those two ideas, right, where you have flexibility and autonomy in regards to operations, but you're still responsible, you're accountable to the state and not to a local district. And so that's sort of the idea that I want to bring to Jamaica, you know, an opportunity where there's flexibility in how we do things in order to get better results, but where there is government support, there's support, you know, in larger part from the diaspora is where I'm really counting on to get support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you were saying that some of the children were basically displaced from the
traditional secondary school
system. Kind of, what are some of the differences between, you know, the U.S. education and what's available in Jamaica? So what would happen to those children if they didn't have something like
have that training? Right. I mean, what we see is that there would be, as there is, escalated crime, displaced students, you know, poor social skills. And unfortunately from, you know, we can take it back to the time of slavery where inequity was really inherent in the system of education. And so you have excellent schools in Jamaica that are doing a phenomenal job preparing some students to go on and do great things. But unfortunately, that's such a minority of the students that need to be served. You know, you still have schools that exist that are called all-age schools that serve grades 1 through 9. And so after that grade 9, there's really a minimal chance of continuing your education. And so we see that that's a problem. You also have the problem of space in schools. There aren't enough spaces to seat all the students in general, even if they were able to get into schools. And then in terms of how students are admitted to that secondary level, it's really based on one singular test. As Sandrine was alluding to, this you know, high-stakes testing, that's pretty much what it is. So we have a grade 6 achievement test. And so at that point in your education, that determines where you go from there pretty much in life. And what JLA, the Jamaica Leadership Academy, plans to bring is really innovation in regards to admissions. And so we plan on creating a holistic plan where students aren't judged on a singular test, but rather we're looking at leadership potential, where we have an interview day. They have, you know, role plays and discussion groups. So you can really see the true potential and wealth that students bring as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the ways that we plan on being different.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you're here in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Who's running the school? You know, how
mm-hmm.
do you school? What
right?
Yeah.
Well, the plan is for the school to actually open the summer of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And in preparation for that, I will be relocating, hopefully in the fall of 2009, to really be on the ground pushing the project forward every day.
Mm-hmm.
In the last month or so, I was blessed enough to partner with the Source Farm and Eco Village, mm-hmm. and it's really a family that has returned home, which is really inherent in our vision for these students as well. Family that has returned home, purchased beautiful land in the parish of St. Thomas, and has started an eco village, which really speaks to the idea of sustainable development and empowerment and, you know, community reliance. And the school, the first campus of the Jamaica Leadership Academy, will be at that location.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people already on the ground there. Ms. Nicola Shirley and her husband live there currently. And so we're, you know, we continue to have meetings and conference calls to really push the project forward each step of the way.
Wow.
Yeah, I think my next trip is actually planned for April. I think I've gone about 5 times in the last 10 months. Back and forth to Jamaica.
Nice.
You know, yeah, right. Some benefits, right. But I'm doing presentations that I was able to present to the Ministry of Education, where the CEO has been really enthusiastic and supportive about the project. And so I'm excited about what that support can yield. And, you know, just really building relationships. That's what Jamaica is about. So that's important.
It really amazes me. I went to an event today with
mm-hmm.
the children from actually Camden High School,
mm-hmm.
and how students here in America take for granted the fact
right.
that you can go to, you know, a place of higher learning. And basically from elementary school through high school, you can get a basic education,
mm-hmm.
and it's paid for. You know, all you have to do is show up.
That's a huge point, yeah.
Right. And then you go other places, and I don't think that the children realize so much if they lived in another place, not even another time. It used to be if you lived in another time.
Right.
Not, if we lived in another time, we didn't have, you know, access or even the right to, you know, reading and writing and education. And
right.
now have that right. And it's not so far removed in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go other places like Jamaica or Africa or places outside of the United States, you know, those opportunities still aren't available in 2009. It just still amazes.
Right. Universally, yeah, that's correct. I mean, and I think you find that with countries that are like low to middle income in terms of, you know, their index and where they are in terms of a national agenda and funding and financing. Place like Jamaica, their allocation for per pupil funding is $10,500 Jamaican dollars, which is equivalent to about $130 U.S. dollars.
Wow.
Meanwhile, at my school, we get about at least $12,000 to $15,000 per student. And so you just think about how limited those resources are.
Right.
And there's a variety of reasons why they are limited. You know, you have your structural adjustment programs and the IMF and the World Bank and the debt structure, you know, all of that being laid out in the 60s and 70s, but that brings us to where we are today with limited fiscal resources, even make that happen. And so that's another area where JALA plans on. You know, we realize that that is kind of like a bottleneck, a limiting factor. And so we plan on, number one, really integrating sustainable projects because we have the strong partnerships, things like using rainwater and recycling that. There's a beautiful organic garden already on site. And so students will learn how to apply what they learn in the class and cultivate that, and we'll use that in part for the, you know, to sustain them in the cafeteria. You know, there's wind energy that's being used to create electricity, and so really capitalizing on those environmental, you know, sustainable projects. A second way is really pulling in the community, whereas in the past, you know, families already strapped for cash are being forced to pay school fees or now auxiliary fees, some fees associated with the schooling of their children. And what we hope to do for those families who qualify, they'll be part of what we call the STEP program, which is really skills and talents exchange program. So in lieu of money, you know, we want them to bring their skills, bring their talents, you know, volunteer, contribute their construction expertise, or, you know, to really find a unique way for them to contribute and be a part of school culture without feeling, you know, isolated because they can't pay those specific fees.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually an awesome idea. I mean, it's very innovative, the whole green concept. I love it. And, you know, utilizing, you know, getting back to shared resources, which kind of gotten away from utilizing talent, you know, in the building of the community. So I think that's a really positive thing. So if you were like to look to the future and it's, you know, X years down the line, what would be the vision for JALA? Like what would be the outcome for these children and what would be in place?
Well, the vision for JALA I see down the line is really to have a campus in each of the 12 parishes. This first campus will be specifically for girls. But the next one, the plan is to be, you know, for boys. So really to have a campus in each of the 12 parishes, and that would serve somewhere around 5,000 students. And the vision is to really offer that opportunity and level the playing field in terms of access and opportunities. And so not only do we want to offer that to students, both we plan on focus in on local students. So 20%, let's see, 60% of the student population in a particular campus will come from the traditional route of selection and then looking at the student holistically. Depending on what parish we're in, 20% of those students will get preferential treatment from that local parish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 20% is really allocated for students, for Jamaicans of the larger diaspora. And so we want to bring those children in as well, you know. And so that's what we see. We see students coming together, creating a diverse, intentional community where students are safe and nurtured and taught a curriculum that's really based and seeped in social, economic justice issues, the truth, really. And the hope is that they go off, gather additional knowledge, higher education, and then return to Jamaica to really strengthen those social and economic dilemmas that exist. And so really creating this cycle of knowledge and empowerment.
Awesome. So if people wanted to, like, contact you to find out more about Jayla, how would they be able to do that?
Sure. We do have a website up. It's www.jaleadershipacademy.com. You can also email me specifically at founder@jaleadershipacademy.com. And you can reach me by phone. It's area code 856-203-3813.
That's great. We have a couple of callers on the line. And let's see, area code 312-593, you're on the air. Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I was just listening in.
Henrietta?
Yes, I was just listening.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate you listening into the show today. We have another caller as well on 678-428. Do you have a question or a comment?
Claire?
Yes.
Hey, this is Tamara. Actually, I was on and I got back off and I'm just not getting back on. So I'm just listening in this moment.
Okay, great. Great. There's this really great feature. If you'd like to share a comment or a question, you can press 1, and it will alert me that you'd like to say something, and then you press 1 to take the hand away. Sandrine, I see that you've had your hand up for a while. Did you have a question or a comment for Colleen?
No, I wasn't aware my hand was up. However, I must say, just listening to the depths of Colleen's concept from the ground up, it seems it's thought through very thoroughly and is very much seeped in productive, positive outcomes. So I'm excited to hear about it and feel pretty honored to be on the phone. She might be famous soon. I know Colleen Hines, so this is good. This is great. So.
Thanks, Sandrine.
You're welcome.
I think it's pretty phenomenal. And you know what was really interesting to me when I met yourself and then also, I guess it was Effie from
right.
Now,
right.
Doing a similar project in Africa. She couldn't join us today. But you know, like you're here in America, but you've been tied back into where your parents are from.
Right.
You know,
right.
Doing
always
that work in the community. Yeah. And there was two brothers, they're from Africa, and they had an opportunity to attend school outside of Africa, came to the United States. They both became doctors, and now they've gone back to Africa and are building clinics and providing medical care for the community that they came from. The difference, though, is that they actually lived in Africa, you know, and then came to the States, whereas you pretty much lived here your entire life. So I think it's great that you're going back into the community of your parents to, like, do this work.
Right. I mean, I visited for the greater part of my life, you know. mostly, my mother is from Sub Lamar, which is on the, let's see, west side of the island, and my father is from St. Andrew near Kingston area and above Rock, St. Catherine. And so for most of my years growing up and visiting, it's been, you know, in the country, as they would say. And so really my first experience in town, in the city, in Kingston, was when I went to school there to get my master's degree. And so I was excited about really spending, you know, considerable amount of time just really being able to get the feel and breath of the city, of the country. So that was exciting.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, I want to applaud you for the work that you're doing. I'm affirming tons and tons of money to support your vision.
I hope so.
Indeed. What you're up to in the Jamaican community, and just that, you know, the commitment that you are for equity in our educational system here in the States,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you're working with here, and also the young people that you will be working with once the school is up and going.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Wonderful. And we have another really, really special sister on the line, Miss Green. And I had an opportunity to hear some of her poetry and was totally, totally blown away.
Yes, definitely.
This is phenomenal.
She's hot. Okay.
And I would like you to share a little bit more about ChangeX, the program that you've developed, and how that came about and what you're up to with that.
Okay. Firstly, I'd like to, you know, like Obama, I like to start off with points of agreement here, or what we have in common. Me and Colleen are also similar in the sense that my parents are from Haiti, and so I'm a child of the diaspora and grew up in New York, and ChangeX was birthed from my desire to create change in the lands that I, you know, hold dear. So I grew up in New York and taught in Philadelphia, and about 2 summers ago, maybe months before I started ChangeX, I visited Haiti, and I hadn't been to Haiti in 21 years.
Wow.
So visited Haiti and recognized sort of the same things that I recognize in students in Philadelphia.
Right.
Beyond being an administrator and a teacher, and all the other hats you wear as a teacher and administrator, from counselor to security guard to, you know, janitor, et cetera, what I recognized was a lack, sort of a spiritual deficit. And so when I was hearing the declaration, I was floored, like, wow, this is everything I want to say, like all in a nutshell. But I definitely saw a deficit that I knew, or at least I felt, could not be addressed by the rote curriculum that was prescribed to teachers. And so all of those ideas and thoughts, coupled with the fact that I'm a journalism major, trained journalist, graduated from Temple, and upon graduating, the only thing I really wanted to do was own my own magazine. And then I realized, you know, I don't know where to go or how to start with that. No, I never took a class at Temple that tells you how to do that. So let me figure out how to give back. And I came across the Teach for America application, and the rest was history. And I'm so thankful that that occurred, because my vision for creating this magazine and affecting social change, when I was 19, anybody who asked me, what do you want to do, you know, in life? And I'd say, change the world. and I was dead serious about it, and people used to look at me oddly, and I didn't get it. I get it now in the sense that, you know, it's not that easy, but it also takes that vision, that understanding that you are responsible. And so I decided in the summer of 2007 to start ChangeX Journalism Leadership Institute. I combined everything that I loved in the program. I trained young teens, mostly girls. It was at an all-girls school in journalism and leadership. And the original concept and the name ChangeX comes from what I thought of in the beginning, which was exchange. I just put the X on the back because I thought exchange was too regular. But what I really wanted was students and young people from different countries, namely Haiti and other countries, to be able to communicate with each other and exchange solutions to problems that they both faced. So if a student in Philadelphia is dealing with issues of violence, what does that look like in Haiti? If a student is looking at issues of self-esteem and identity, what does that look like in a Haitian community? So I think what I did was I chose to put the idea of the exchange and sort of cultivate a worldview for the students in ChangeX in Philadelphia. So teaching and training them in leadership and in writing that was focused outward in the sense of what can we do to affect change in other people's lives, and not only in Philadelphia but elsewhere. And it always starts with who and what is going on with me. And so the ChangeX, the tagline for the company is what's the variable, what's your vision, and that's what we focus on. The first X is always yourself. And, yeah, so we produce, I train them in journalism and leadership. We do community service. Community leaders come in and discuss pertinent issues, whether it's health, economic issues, social justice issues, personal development issues, et cetera, down the line. And then we take all of that and produce that magazine that I longed for and produce ChangeX magazine. So that's it in a nutshell. I might have gone over a little bit, but ChangeX, I started it in October 2007. The program officially began in December 2007, and the magazine, first volume, the first issue came out in June 2008. So currently looking to producing the second volume. And, yeah.
That's pretty awesome because you covered a couple of things. One, you put a vision out there, you know, back when, that you wanted to be a journalist and have a magazine, and boom, here you're doing it. To the whole idea of exchange between the children in Haiti and young people here,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's pretty awesome. And then the way that you're approaching it, you know, like using the journalism, which was your initial passion, is pretty incredible too. And then the self, one of the things in the summit that we talk about, there's a distinction called know out there. And basically, it's the same thing, that everything starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your world is created out of yourself.
Right.
And so just seeing the parallel in the energy of the vision work, you know, the working on self and the transformation work that you're both doing is just pretty incredible. And
mm-hmm.
I'm loving it.
Thank you.
And it's amazing too because you took a really big leap of faith, you know, to leave your job and to take the entrepreneurial route to have the program that you wanted to have and you know, focus it in the direction that you wanted to go. So how do you support your work? How does that occur? How does that occur?
That is a major important question, actually, in this moment. I think more than anything, I've found that ChangeX has been sort of a project. Like, I am ChangeX, and it has been one of the most powerful experiences I've ever experienced, in the sense that it challenges me all the time to go at 100%. I'm actually in my home right now, and this was not planned, but two of the most powerful students from the program are sitting in my house right now. They're both in college, Sharon Meganson and Latasha Vanish. One was the editor-in-chief of the magazine, and the other was responsible for our community service projects. And experienced an obstacle that I am now overcoming. And so the process of being out on your own is daring, it's adventurous, it's scary, and it's also a challenge in the sense of, like, to your core, like, who are you really? Mm-hmm. And so the support came from primarily the school out of their budget. I was able to secure contracts, and I was supporting myself by doing different work. I did a teacher artist job. I had a grant from the National Endowment of the Arts. I was working in New York and Philadelphia at the same time. I've done leadership workshops. I've done you name it, I've done it. And I just recently, unfortunately, lost the contract for the second year of ChangeX at the school. So I'm in the midst of recovering and recouping from a hit. And I find it to be a wonderful blessing, you know, and it's all about perspective and all about choice. And I'm choosing to be all the things that I promote and have invoked and you know, preach to my students, and they always call me and remind me, you know, Ms. Dupatine, you know, you got to change you, and what are you doing? And so I'm actually in the process of finding some more funders or supporters, because my vision is going to come out. There's no stopping me at this point. And so, you know, if anybody on the line would like to talk to me about that, I'd be more than open to doing that. But it is definitely a part of me, and it's definitely something that I know I cannot turn from. And it definitely feels like a ministry. It is a ministry. And I care deeply about it, and I have seen the effects of it, and I believe in it. And, so supporting myself, I've been on a ride, a true ride, that has been just blessing upon blessing, and it's changed my life deeply, very much. So I am the official X in this situation. Yeah.
You're the agent in the exchange. And
yeah.
I'm going to ask the same questions that I posed to Colleen, which, if you were to look at ChangeX in the future, like, if your vision were fulfilled, what would it look like? And also, if people want to contact you, either to support you or to get more information, how would they be able to do that?
Awesome. I think that if my vision were to come out the way, oh, wow, like, talking about it makes my heart beat faster, but it would definitely grow. It would be a full-fledged organization. I'd have, you know, right now I'm a one-woman show, and it would definitely not be a one-woman show anymore. I'd have supporters. I think another element of the program is mentoring from college students who are journalists, which is a whole different element that adds a whole different element of mentoring to the program that supports the students throughout, even after the program. But it would be an organization. We'd be in schools all over the country, really, and also have programs in different countries where we'd exchange ideas. The main focus of the magazine is to focus on solutions to problems, whether they be personal, social, economic, whatever. But that also the vision would be that the magazine would be nationally distributed, and it would be in the hands of every high school, middle school student in the country, so that it's not only for and by students, but that the students who are reading the magazine are affected by it, that it's reinforced in the curriculum, because things of in the nature of self, in the nature of character, in the nature of leadership development, I think is lacking in a very serious way. And I think if we see and we look up and we see a Barack Obama in office, or we see the things, the change that's coming, we must not be deluded in thinking that change is going to come from the top down. And I think that if ChangeX was doing its job and my vision was fulfilled, more people, especially youth, would understand the power that they have in their hands and the responsibility in choosing to change for the better and choosing to be the change they want to see. And if I could have that, that would be amazing. Now, in terms of contacting me, there are several ways. I can be contacted. First, we have a website, and I'm not sure if Colleen said her website. If not, mm-hmm. Colleen, you did? Okay, good. I was going to say it. But my website is www.changexmag.com, change, the letter X, mag.com. I can be reached at Miss Dupiton, MSDUPITON, at changexmag.com. And my number is 215-549-9843. Again, that's 215-549-9843. Did I miss anything? I think that was all.
That sounds great. That's really great. And we have a caller, 312-212. I just wanted to check in. Thank you for listening to see if you had a comment or a question for either of our guests this evening. Okay, great. Thank you for listening. And I would love. You know what I'm going to ask, right?
Yeah. I do.
For you to share some of your poetry. And I know when we talked, you were saying, oh, before you do that, 312-212, did you have a question or a comment before we go into this next piece? Hello? Okay, I see your hand up, but I don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Who's on the line? Hello?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. My name is Martin Grant, and I came on about 5 minutes late, so I didn't hear everything that was being said. But what I just want to acknowledge both the ladies that are on the line for their tenacity and their commitment to making something in the community that wasn't going to be there if they didn't take it on.
Right.
And it just has my heart sing to see that happen, to hear it happen, And I invite others in our community to take on like what you guys take on, and in taking it on, just have us all contribute the things that's there for us to contribute, that if it's not contributed, it's missing in our community and actually in the world. So, no, thank you for taking that on, and awesome work, awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in, for sharing, and for your comments. I really appreciate that. Miss Sandrine?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to bless us with some of your work?
Yes. I'd be happy to. Okay, this piece I'm sharing is called Crossing Rivers for Change. I wrote it in 2005, and I feel like it's very much sort of the manifesto for ChangeX, and hopefully you'll hear why in the words. This was performed for Teach for America teachers in 05. It's called Crossing Rivers for Change. I relinquished control, took a plunge into wet waters of wisdom, hand-padded, rolled, breaded in struggle, deep-fried with determination. I swam through dark days and closed notebooks, heads down, minds closed, eyes and ears always partially open, and shimmied in with my new ways and beats and world, and song, and rules, and voice, and vision, and promised to be true to our shared commitment. I crossed rivers of Jordan to reach our holy land of thought and learning, calculating formulas at night with scientific calculators to solve for change and discover time and time again why stood for the action in between. Breathing heavy in labored dreams of transcendence as chalks hit board and hands reach sky and lips mouth truth, I floated across rooms with heart racing and fist pumping and metaphors and similes merging to create bridges to Terabithia, the promised land, freedom. But I woke up in a room where the hands were fearfully tucked in, stuck in dark spaces where the thirst for greatness was drummed out years before, and who is she fooling? Smirks across the room. And still I dance with pant legs rolled down, dragging in putrid ponds in order to wade in the water. Mission and purpose secured on my shoulders. In this sea of brown eyes, big hearts, fragile egos, bruised confidence, I was the captain, in control of the destinies and freedom of all these children. Upon entering my room, they would be introduced to lands and lies, and truths and tall tales, and facts and fables, and songs and sonnets, and warriors and wonderment that would lead to the inevitable betterment of all our lives. As we sat together to share the sacred soup of education, the powerful push and pull that could part seas, split atoms, shake us down to our DNA and dissect propaganda into thin slices of smoke and hype and tiptoe us back to ourselves. Surely the captain could not falter, slip, or fail, but this captain has and will again and again and again and is and will and can get up, stand up with heart racing and fist pumping and mission and purpose adjusted on shoulders, metaphors and similes merging, creating mosaic bridges to freedom and transcendence. With lips mouthing truth and wonderment and thought and learning committed to one destination, freedom. And because of this, I relinquish control. Because the eyes and ears always partially open, silently scream, I see you, I hear you. And those that waded in the water before me sing lullaby loud, I see you, I hear you. And those big hearts and fragile egos whisper, I feel you. I put away my calculators and restless, dream-filled nights and cape and decided to be in the moment when my dream wasn't being fulfilled and continue to stroke through with determined action to solve for for change. That's it.
Woo! Snap, snap. I guess I'm feeling it too much. Sorry, sir. I apologize.
Thank you.
That was really, really, really wonderful. So,
wow.
We're going to have to have you come back, both of you, on another show. The place that you perform your poetry is so amazing. I just enjoy it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Talented.
So I would like to do some announcements of upcoming events.
Okay.
And if you've enjoyed the conversations today on VisionWorks or from any of the shows from the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, you might want to consider attending our national or annual summit event. And the annual summit is the time when folks from around the world gather to share their lives, to tune up their listening to what life is giving, and engage in the process of expressing or transforming who they are in the world. Consider this your personal invitation to attend the International Black Summit annual event. The annual summit happens the same time each year, which is the first weekend in August. The dates for this year's summit are July the 30th through August 2nd, 2009, and we will be in London, England, which Yes, yes. And next week, February 20th through the 22nd, the International Black Summit facilitators will be meeting in Orlando, Florida. So if you're in the Orlando area and you'd like to meet some of the folks and get more information about the summit, email us at talkshow@blacksummit.org. If you are in the Atlanta area, there will be a summit share, which is also an opportunity to meet past summit participants in the Atlanta area and get more information about the summit. The share will be on Saturday, February the 28th, and for more information on that, you can email tdy_young@hotmail.com. And if your calendar is booked for this year or you just like to plan ahead, in 2010, the summit will be in Baltimore, Maryland, August the 5th through the 8th, 2010. For more information about any of the International Black Summit events, to become a member or to donate funds, register for our regional activities or the annual event in London, you can log on to our website, which is www.blacksummit.org. The International Black Summit Talk Show Network airs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and also on the second and fourth Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. You can join us again next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Man of the Month program, which is hosted by Glenn Greenwich. And if there are parts of your life you feel are derailed, you can tune in on first Sundays and get on track with Ms. Henrietta Byrd. Or maybe you'd like to give some acknowledgement to yourself or other people, and you can tune into our Let's Celebrate segment, which is the second Sunday of the month. Looking to tune up your finances, join the Wealth Club, and that show is phenomenal. It's on Tuesday nights at 6:30. The International Black Summit Talk Show Network is a wealth of information designed to further the conversation of the summit in areas of empowerment, transformation, and fulfillment of each person's life, purpose, and commitment. And if you're a past summit participant and you want to share how the summit has forwarded your life, you can call me or email me at talkshow@blacksummit.org to get on a future show. Feel free to share this show with family or friends. You can listen to previously aired talk show segments 24/7 online at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow, or you can download them to your computer, your iPod, or MP3 player to listen to later. I'd like to thank my special, special guest, Ms. Colleen Hines from the Jamaica Leadership Academy and Ms. Sandrine from ChangeX.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a blessing.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's been a really, really phenomenal show. And I'd also like to thank those of you who joined the conversation, Henrietta from Chicago, Tamara from Atlanta, Martin, I think you called from Chicago as well. It has really been a pleasure, and I want to thank the IBS Talk Show team members, everyone who listens, chatted online or called in to share tonight. Be sure to tune into our next show next week, same date, Sunday, same time, 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. See you in London. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a
good
great
night.
Godspeed, Sandrine.
Yes, you too. Are we off air now?
I know, right? I'm like, I don't know, but...
Yeah, we're off here.
Okay. Wow, that was cool.
Yay.
Yeah.
Got a little excited, sorry, but
a lot of really, really great information. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to do this.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Anytime. Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience.
Indeed. I love it. Now I gotta I gotta find a way to get to London.
I know, right?
Yeah. No, I'm definitely, honestly, I'm definitely interested in the International Black Summit. Now that I've heard this declaration, I feel like it's everything I'm trying to do in my endeavors. And Jayla, I'm just, you know, floored. This garden, all this, the wind, and I was just like, oh, I can see it. Ah, I want to go.
It's back home, I know.
Yeah, you know. So.
Trying to do it. I mean, you got it going on too, especially with Philly and the young girls and the diaspora. I mean, you all just have to stay connected and
definitely
get up and, you know, in the moment, one step in front of the other.
Right.
I don't know where I'm quite how I'm getting there, but
Lord,
you know.
Jesus, you don't understand.
Right.
As I explained to my father, today. Father, I need some money. He's like, what's your plan? I'm like, well, you know, I have one. However, I'm just trying to, you know.